About every 15 minutes, 2,000 people die in the world. Every day. Every 15 minutes. Isn't that something? 2, 4, 6, 8, somewhere between 8 and 10,000 people die in the world every hour. 200,000? 250,000 a day. Is that a lot of people? That's a lot of people. And one day you'll be one of them and die. You're not going to live forever. One day, your day's coming. Mine's coming. Everybody's coming. It's over. But he says, how many people are walking on the highway to heaven? He counted them. He said, Lord, there's only 50. He said, that's right. 2.5% get to go to heaven. The rest of them are going to hell. You want to be part of the 2.5% or part of the 97.5%? I want to be part of the 2.5, don't you? Those are the ones that really, really make Jesus Lord of their life. When Howard Pittman, a Baptist preacher, got to heaven, you'll be amazed when you hear him give his testimony. God said, Howard, I'm not pleased with you. But Lord, I was a Baptist preacher. He said, I know what you were. I was with you every second of every day. I know everything you did. But you didn't preach my word the way I wrote it. I'm not happy with you. He said, because of the blood of my son, you will get to come in. But he said, you will not receive not one single reward. How would you like to be a Baptist preacher that preached the word of God in church, on the street corners, and then he told the Lord, Lord, but my wife and I, we foster, cared, raised 27 children in our home for you. He said, oh, no, you didn't do that for me. He said, I've heard you brag about raising them 27 children, but you didn't do it for me. You did it so you could gloat over it. He said, you didn't do nothing for me, Howard. Nothing. How would you like for God to say something like this to you when you get there? No, no thank you. He said, but because of the blood of my son, I will let you in, but you will get absolutely no rewards in heaven, none. He said, Lord, if I ain't going to get any rewards, would you please let me go back and try this again? I said, okay, I'm going to do that. Before I send you back, I'm going to send you on a trip of the spirit world, and I want you to see how the evil spirits work. And so, very first thing happened, I'll just tell you about one of them. When Howard come back, they came back and these two angels was with him and they walked through the wall, walked through the veil, and they're going to the hospital. There his body lay on and he walks right by it and it's dead. And there's a nurse and some guy talking and all of a sudden they both laugh. He said, I guess somebody was telling a joke and they hit, I don't know what the punchline was, I didn't hear it, but said they were both laughing. Then while they were laughing, I looked and I saw this ugly green looking thing, looked like a big old frog, coming out of the floor. I said, Angel, what is that ugly green thing coming out of the floor? He said, that's a spirit of lust. He said, why is it growing? He said, as the man is looking at the woman, laughing at her, the enemy is putting thoughts in his mind. Wouldn't you like to go to bed with her? And he's yielding to those thoughts. So as he yields to those thoughts, that spirit is getting bigger. How many men do you know in your life that have done that? Many. Many men have not controlled their eyes and their thoughts like God told them to, and they wonder why these things enter them, and this thing kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden it disappeared into his body. Went right in his face. He said, Angel, where did that thing go? He said, the man is now possessed by a demon of lust. That every time he looks at a woman, he'll want to think about having sex with her. And said the more he thinks about it, the more demons he'll get. And the more demons he gets until he finally gets enough, they will overcome him and he will not be able to control himself and he'll do something he shouldn't. He said, how in the world does a man get set free like that? He said, they have to come to God, they have to repent of their sins, and then find somebody who knows how to cast out demons and they cast them out. He said, they get free. Is that good news? Sure, it's good news. And, of course, one of the things we find, in fact, I was reading an article just a few minutes ago before I came in here. It says 50% of the men in America are not enjoying sex with their wife because they've had prostate cancer. 50%. 50% of the men cannot have sex because they've had prostate cancer or whatever. And I think, and as it said, 50% of these men, I thought, let's stop and think about this. the more the man meditated on women when he was young. Say he had 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 girlfriends, and he had sex with all of them. I guarantee that man, and then he gets married, say at 25 or something, and then by the time he's 40 or 50, he's got prostate cancer. And maybe he even ran around on his wife every once in a while when he was married. Guarantee that man, by the time he's 40 or 50 years old, more than likely will come down with some kind of prostate cancer. He'll have to have surgery, and he'll never be able to have sex again in his life. Never. That's not the way God made a man. A man is supposed to be able to enjoy sex with his wife till they die. That's the way it's supposed to be. But that's not the way it is. That's just like the other day whenever this guy was telling me, I was down in seminary, and said, I asked Dr. So-and-so, I said, Dr. So-and-so, how old do you have to be before you get too old to enjoy sex with your wife? He said, well, I don't know. He said, aren't you 83? He said, yes, I'm 83. He said, so how old do you have to be? He said, like I told you, I don't know. He said, you mean you and your wife still have sex at 83? He said, sure, no problem. Every once in a while. I said, not as much as we did when we were teenagers, but said, we do have sex once in a while. He said, I enjoy it and she enjoys it. So I said, yeah, we have a normal sexual relationship. Now this boy says, I'm only 50 and I can't have sex now. Well, if you check him out, you find out he was involved in sexual sin. Now what did we read a while ago there in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 11, verse 15 and 16? Let's go back to that. Bring that scripture back up one more time. Let's look at that. Wisdom 11, 15 and 16. In return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational servants and worthless animals, you, God, sent upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them so that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. If you were a sex sinner, somewhere along the line, you had prostate cancer. If you've been a clean, pure man all of your life, you've only had sex with a woman you're married to, you were never promiscuous or nothing, and you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, I guarantee if you have obeyed God, everything in your body works just like it did when you were young. You know, if you were not, then it does not. I think about this one man and this one woman. This happened years ago. This guy was a missionary. And he came to me one day, I'm teaching something similar to this, and he comes to me and said, Pastor, I got a question. I said, what's that, sir? He said, I've been married to my wife for 25 years. 25. He said, we had a normal sexual relationship for the first 6 months. And then after that, I became impotent. And he said, I've never been able to have sex with my wife for nearly 25 years. I said, so let me ask you a question. I said, did you have sex with her before you married her? Yes, I did. I said, were you a missionary back in those days? Yes, I was. I said, you knew God says no sex before marriage. Yes, I did. But he said, I went to my pastor and I asked him, the woman I'm going to marry, she's going through a divorce. And it's going to take about 6 months for the divorce to be finalized. She was beat up by this guy. He was pretty severely bad. And so she has moved out. And I met her, and I'm going with her, and she's a lovely woman, and I love her with all my heart, and we are going to get married. But he says, I went to my pastor and told him, said, if we are going to get married, we also are young, and we'd like to have sex. Would it be okay if we had sex together, since we are going to get married? And the pastor said, yes. That was some rotten advice. That does not line up with God's word. It's what he wanted to hear, but it wasn't what God said. And so him and her moved in together. And they had a normal, beautiful sexual relationship for 6 months. They got married and had a beautiful, normal relationship for 6 more months. And then all of a sudden, bam, he can't go there. Not at all. I mean, it just don't work. So he says, what can we do? I said, well, first of all, did God say in his word, if you both of you repent, he will forgive you? Did he? I said, yes, he did. 1 John 1:9, if you repent of your sins, I am righteous and just to forgive you of your sins and restore you to fellowship. Is that what he said? No. This man and his wife, of course, they met with Cheryl and I, and we talked about this in great detail, and they both poured out their heart to God with tears. Lord, we are both so sorry. as the woman at fault too? Huh? Sure. Was she involved in this thing too? Sure she was. Both of them got to repent. Not just him. It takes two. And so they both had to repent. So when they both repented and asked God to forgive them, did he forgive them? Sure he did.
Yeah.
I said, now then, Jesus clearly said in John 15:7. I want you to look at this awesome promise in John 15:7. Look at this. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, is that an awesome promise? If God's word abides in you and you abide in him, what did he say you could ask for? What? Now, you don't think he really meant that. Anything? You really believe that? Really? I'm trying to get her to doubt, see? She ain't going there with me. She's got it locked in. It's written in the Word. But you see the way the enemy will try to do you? He'll do you like that. Oh, God didn't really mean that. Oh, he meant it for him, but he didn't mean it for you. You know the way he works too, don't you, young lady? Yeah, the beast is good at what he does. He's very, very good at what he does. So I said, the Lord said, I can ask for anything, he'll do it. So I said, Father, on behalf of this scripture, I ask you to restore this man and his wife back to 100% normal where they can enjoy a normal sexual relationship. I said, Lord, they paid diligently for their sin. Would you say 25 years is pretty diligent cost? Yeah, I'd think so. Living with a woman that you love with all your heart, sleeping with her and can't go there with her, 25 years. So anyway, they both repented. We stood on God's word. And I said, now then, just keep me posted what God does. 3 Sundays later, that guy come down on time of prayer and he said, Pastor, oh God, how I wished I'd have met you 25 years ago. He said, first of all, I would have never, never went to bed with that woman till I married her. And we would have had a normal relationship all these years. He said, I'm telling you that this morning, this is 3 weeks ago since we prayed that prayer, this morning when I woke up, I was able to go there for the first time in 25 years. That we had a normal sexual relationship. Does God forgive sin?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Miracles Are Available to Us, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.